Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me here. It is such a privilege, such an honor to be able to share with you what God has done in my life and how he has used a simple shoebox to make a huge impact in my life when I was in Ukraine and then even here in the States as well. So as you know, I was born, raised in Ukraine. So I want to tell you a little bit of what was happening before I was born to kind of give you a setup for what was happening during my childhood years and how that impacted me and why the shoebox was even extra special for me as a Christian. Because a lot of the times we take, you know, think of the shoeboxes that go to places where they've never heard about Jesus. Well, I grew up in a family where my parents took us to church every single time the doors were open. But it doesn't mean that I didn't have a lot of heartache and a lot of struggles, and even to the extent of persecution, where that would be considered. So Ukraine was under the communist regime during the Soviet Union era. And when I talk to my mom, it's horrendous listening to the things that they had to go through. And I'm thinking to myself, if I ever had to live through that, I don't know that I would be able to remain a Christian in such circumstances. She also grew up in a Christian home. And whenever her dad took her to church, my grandpa, there would be policemen standing outside the church building. And any parent that brought their children to church, they would be fined 3/4 of their salary, monthly salary. And so the parents couldn't even take their kids to church. That was the situation with the Christianity. But when you read in history books, and kids, I am so glad that you are here, because you get to learn something that other students will not learn about communism until maybe a few years later or ever. And a lot of you who are older will maybe know what I'm talking about. Communist Party stood for everything. Let me take out my notes quick here. That they believed in a bright future, and they wanted everyone to be equal, and to everyone to have equal rights. As in, women could work the same job as a man can. But when you didn't believe in those ideas, you were quickly put away. So you were either killed or you were imprisoned. They didn't look at who you are, which rank you took. Another thing is that they did not believe in God, that God even existed. They had their own religion, and their religion was Marxism. And so they had one leader. His name was Lenin. So they only served him. They only believed in him. Am I using this microphone or the one that I have here? All of the people would then worship this Lenin, and they would sing songs to him, and they would only, that was the person that was worshipped. And so if it doesn't matter which other religion you were also put into prison or killed, or eventually killed. And so that's kind of the situation during communism. They had great ideas, but it's just the way that they handled it wasn't right. And so there was a lot of Christians, a lot of other religions that were crying out that it's like, this is not fair, it's not happening. And so even students, there was another party that was called Komsomol. I'm not sure if that's the correct way of translating it. But anyways, all the students were required to be a part of this party in order to get an education, in order to get a job, in order to go to college. So students, can you imagine coming to school and there's a principal standing outside of the building and they're asking you, hey, did you join the Komsomol party? Well, no, I'm a Christian. I'm not going to join your Komsomol party. And so they would send you right back home. Or even if you did eventually get back into school, They would make fun of you. They would not give you the grades that you deserved. They would, you know, kick you out, things like that. And so that's everything that my mom and dad have gone through, because they were raised in Christian homes and they were taught Christianity and belief in God. And so in 1991, when I was born, Soviet Union fell apart, so the Communist Party also fell apart, and so that wasn't a requirement, but those ideas still existed. And so all of those people that were in the Communist Party or in the Komsomol Party as children or as youth, they were now teaching their children the same things. And so myself as a Christian, I was the only student in my class that was a Christian, with all the other kids coming to school and saying all of these things to me, as in, how do you believe in a God that doesn't exist? Why do you still go to church? So you actually believe that there was a big, great flood that flooded the whole earth and only 8 people escaped? Things like that were daily. And so often I would come home and just cry to my mom and dad, like, why me? Like, why am I so singled out? It doesn't feel good, this bullying and making fun. I'm just like all the other kids, except I'm a Christian. And so my parents would often tell me that, well, you know, the stories about Jesus, how he was treated when he was on this earth, he was also not liked. He was often kicked out. People even took him to the rooftop of the building and tried to throw him off. And other things where he was not welcome, and although he did good things, he never hurt anyone, he healed people, he did miracles, but people still didn't like him. And so they were telling us that, you know, if you're a follower of Jesus, people may do the same things to you that they did to him. And so I believed that, and I accepted that, and I went back to school the next day and received that same bullying again and again and again. And my parents taught us that if you ever need anything, all you have to do is pray. And I have seen my parents pray. And we prayed as a family. Because growing up in a family of 8, although both of my parents worked, the money was really tight. We lived in a one-room apartment. My parents even had, my dad had to go to a village and help out his mom so that we can have additional food that they weren't able to buy with their paychecks or lack thereof. And I've seen God provide food for us. We had clothes. We were able to go to school. We had school supplies. We did grow up without ever having Christmas gifts, because that was just one of those things where my parents couldn't afford. Do we buy food or do we buy a gift that's going to be broken in a few days? And so I've seen God do miracles in our family. And when I was 10 years old, kind of came to a point where I had to make my faith my own. And I was just honestly kind of sick of being bullied all the time at school. And so I prayed to God that he would show me that he loved me for who I am, and that he would care for me personally. Not because of my family, but just for who I am. And it's amazing that God knows all of our passions. And even Philippians 4, verse 19 says that, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." So he supplied everything that our family needed. But at that point in my life, I needed something more than just the necessities of life. And it's amazing how God chose to use Operation Christmas Child to supply that for me. That year, the way that we received the shoeboxes is just only God. It's like a special delivery. I even have a shirt that I wear sometimes that says special delivery, because that shoebox was a special delivery. We lived in a city of about 60 to 70,000 people. Our family was the only family that received the shoeboxes. How amazing is that? And the way it happened is things got worse for a while when my mom became sick during our holiday break. She had to go to the hospital that was 4 hours away in the capital city of Ukraine. While she was there, when she was released from the hospital, it was the third day of Christmas. On the third day of Christmas, most churches in Ukraine, at least the Pentecostal churches, have a church service for the kids. And so it was just a regular church service for the kids, where typically at the end of the service, they would give you a little package of candy. So we always look forward to that. And in Kyiv, at this church, my mom is at this church service, and instead of just giving a little package of candy, they were giving out shoeboxes to the kids. And it's not typical that the shoeboxes will be given out to adults. The shoeboxes are only given out to the kids that are present at the event. Because at the event, they tell them about Jesus. They give each child the greatest gift booklet that has some more stories about Jesus in there, in their own language. But for some reason, somehow, whoever was giving out the shoeboxes decided to give my mom 3 shoeboxes to take back home to her 6 kids. And so when we found out that mom is coming home, we were staying up late into the night waiting for her. I remember it was a train ride, and it was a late one, so she was coming in, supposed to come in like at midnight. Like, okay, we can stay up till midnight. Tomorrow we still have a day off, we can do this. And so we're staying up till midnight. Well, the train was late, so my dad's making us go to sleep. We're like, no way. Mom has not been home for like 2 weeks now. We're not going to sleep. We're waiting for mom. Thankfully, I'm glad we did. When she came and she had 3 shoeboxes, we were so excited that some of us are getting some new shoes. I mean, new shoes. We're so used to hand-me-downs. Here's 3 boxes of new shoes. And she's like, no, they're not shoes. I'm like, oh, really? But they're actually gifts from America. We're like, what? We don't know anybody in America. Who in the world would know us to send us gifts? And we're thinking, wow, another miracle. Like, who could this be? So she tells us the story of how she was at church and how she got the shoeboxes and how the booklets that she brought home in her own language were given with each shoebox. And so as soon as we find out that they're gifts, and we're like, somebody on the other side of the world cares so much for us to pack us a box of gifts. We open them up to find all the colorful stuff in it, like even starting with a toothpaste that had 3 colors instead of just your typical white. And brand new toothbrushes. Like, we used our toothbrushes until the bristles were curled up and you were bleeding after brushing your teeth instead of, having it fresh. So excited just for, your plain hygiene items, and then opening up and finding school supplies, like little eraser toppers. That was such a huge novelty for us because we didn't have anything like that back home. And it always, once you use up the eraser on the pencil, you always have to carry an extra one. This was so convenient that you don't have to have that extra eraser with you. Just put it on the pencil and use it up again. And there was quite a bit in the package. So when we went back to school, we were able to share it with our classmates, even the same classmates that made fun of us. Because my siblings experienced the same thing that I did. They were also made fun of in their classes. Another thing that we got in the shoebox was a yo-yo that lights up. And so just to put in perspective for you, that was 2002 when I was 10 years old. And that was the biggest year for yo-yos, as far as I can remember in my memory. As big as maybe fidget spinners right now. I'm sure a lot of you can relate, especially the kids. Everybody wanted to have the coolest one, the one with different colors, the one that can change out the colors, maybe with different pictures, you name it. So everybody wanted to have a yo-yo, but my parents couldn't afford to buy a yo-yo, especially for each of us. It cost as much as maybe 2 loaves of bread, if not more. So what do you, food on the table or a toy? And we had a yo-yo in our box that lights up. And so having all of those things and being able to now take them back to school after that holiday break and show them off to our classmates, because that was the big thing. Everybody would come to school and they're showing off their toys that they got under the tree. And our family, me personally, I'd be the one hiding in the corner because I had nothing to show. I mean, a package of candy, that doesn't compare to a car or a doll or something. And we had stuffed animals and so many other things and things that we couldn't even share. And having three boxes that we can pull from. So all of a sudden, the kids that made fun of me were really nice to me and wanted to be my friends. How does that happen? I still just can't wrap my mind around it. So using a box, God answered that big prayer that I had, that he would just help me out and make that bullying stop. And after that, as long as we lived in Ukraine, after that, which was for another 2.5 years, I never had to struggle with that. Because the kids were able to see that I had something that they didn't see, that they didn't have, and that Christianity, that God that I had, that they didn't have, was way more powerful than the God they said did not exist. Another part that is incredibly special to me, another way where God was showing me, like, this is how much I love you personally, and I know exactly who you are inside, is by sending me a box of crayons. And we take crayons for granted here. Like, a lot of our kids grow up knowing crayons. And so for us, this was a huge novelty because we've never seen them before, didn't even know they existed. So when we opened up the crayons, looked at all the different colors, took them out, started comparing it to everything that we know. So it's not a pencil, because pencils are much longer. It's not a marker. Doesn't have a cap, doesn't have the colors inside. It comes in a wrapper, different texture. So we're thinking, wow, those people really have strange candy in the United States. So we took off the wrappers because, I mean, candy comes in wrappers, right? Yeah, so we took off the wrappers and started eating the crayons. And I'm sure about half of you probably tried crayons, but probably not for that reason. So as you know, they don't taste as good as they look. So we, you know, kind of set it aside until one of my younger brothers got a hold of it and made a mark, either on the coloring book or on the wallpaper. And we figured out, wow, this is another coloring supply. This is another tool for art making. And what some of you may not know is that I was very creative as a child and still am. And God knew that. I was in art club that was provided by the city since age 6, probably, but since age 4, I was already copying the illustrations in the fairy tale books. And so I've pretty much experimented with all of the art supplies available to us in Ukraine, even with oil paints. And so to have something as simple as crayons, but yet so different, was really special to me. And where God was just telling me, it's like, see how much I really love you and how much I really know you, to send you something that you don't even know existed. And so that's another way that he answered the prayer, where in Ephesians 3:20, he says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So God is so amazing, being able to use someone like you to pack a simple shoebox with things that we might take for granted, but they make such a big difference. So then later on in life, so when I was 10, received the shoebox. When I was 12 years old, our family moved to the United States on a refugee visa. The refugee visa, I just asked my mom about this, and like, how exactly did it happen? Because I'm sure I'm going to get that question asked. They applied for the refugee visa based on religious persecution when my mom was still single and living with her parents. And it took, I mean, at that point, I was 12 years old, so it took them over about 15 years to finally get the paperwork and the okay to come to this country, so they can worship without being persecuted, without having to lose their jobs over it, or without having the fear of not being accepted into a college or university, or having their kids being denied the education and the freedom that they were denied as young adults. And so as we moved here with our family and started going to school, learning English, the culture, and all things like that, when I was about 14, my teacher gave us an assignment to do a drawing with crayons. We didn't think much of it. She submitted all those drawings into a contest, and a few weeks later, she brings me a $50 check. She's like, you were one of the finalists. And so now looking back, I realized that it was my first paid work of art done with crayons. Since then, after that, we have I have gone on to college and studied fine art. My preferred medium now is oil paint, not crayons, unfortunately. And after I finished college and was working as an artist, God has really put in my heart and really pushed me to go into education. So never planned on being an educator, but God has his own ways and his own plan for our lives. And so now I am an art teacher in Cleveland, Ohio, in the inner city to elementary and middle school. And guess what? Crayons are my favorite tools because I do not have my own classroom. All of my art is on a cart. This is the safest thing. Paint gets too messy. Don't even go there. So God has been amazing, and now that we're kind of on this side of my story, when our family came to the United States and we were in church, our youth pastor brought shoeboxes like this to our service. And he's like, here's how you put together a shoebox. Here's the stuff that you put in it. Here's the stuff you can't put in it. Also consider putting in a picture in your shoebox and bring it back to church and $7, or was it $5 at that time, and we'll ship it off across the world. And so I'm sitting there and having this deja vu moment, like, where have I seen this box before? And we realized that, oh my goodness, this is the gift that made such a huge difference, such a big impact in our life just a few years ago. And so as a family, we started packing shoeboxes. And a tradition developed in our family where the girls would go shopping. Now I have two sisters, so there's three girls, and we have five boys in our family, and all the boys would then pay for shipping. So we are still doing that. And even last year, I had this crazy idea, you know, why just do a few shoeboxes? Because we were packing maybe about 10 or 12 with the family. Like, I was thinking, you know, I'm turning 25. That's a big number. Let's do something big. How about invite all of my friends and have them bring stuff for the shoeboxes? And we'll have a big packing party at an ice skating rink where it's a neutral ground for all my friends that don't get along with each other. And we'll we'll just have, you know, a jolly old time. And so it was amazing at how many friends did not know about the shoeboxes. I'm like, oops, what happened there? But anyways, they brought all this stuff, and they got so excited about it. And as we started packing shoeboxes, we soon realized that we're running out of boxes. I'm like, but I had 25. That was our goal, and that's what I told everybody. We want to pack 25. And unbeknownst to me, they were so excited that by the end of the night, we packed 50 shoeboxes. And I don't have a picture on there. And that is such a simple thing that we can do, because honestly, we've got everything that we need here. Why not bless other people and bless other children who each of those boxes is another child being impacted for God? And so I always, whenever I travel, encourage people to put their picture in the shoebox, but don't forget to put your name on the back of it, just like this family did, so that one day that one person or a family can contact you and thank you and tell you their story of how much of an impact you had in their life, in their family, in their neighborhood, in their city. So thank you so much for packing shoeboxes. Thank you so much for donating for the cause of shoeboxes and everything else that you're doing in your communities. Thanks for even being here and being such an encouragement to everybody else around you. Honestly, such a privilege sharing with you. And we do have some time for questions. So if there is something that you're curious about, my story or anything else, shoot, I'll try to answer. There's a picture, but there's no name. So I'm still on the hunt for this family. Yep. Yes. So the question was if I had a picture in my box and if I know who the family is. And we have the picture, but we don't know who they are.
Okay, thank you so much. What a great message. And we just want to thank Kathy and Debbie and Nicole